Extension services tend to be uncontroversial in most places. The State Agricultural University helps people tend to farms and provides programs that help children and grown-ups get familiar with care of the land and plants and animals and more. In Josephine County, things got complicated. At budget time last year, the county commissioners opted not to collect a specific tax dedicated to extension services. Oregon State University Extension managed to get through another year, but it's budget time again. Last night, the Josephine County Budget Committee voted to recommend restoring funding to Extension Services, but the Board of Commissioners get the final say in 2 weeks. We have two guests with us. Chris Elliott is the Interim Director of OSU Extension Service for all of Oregon. Welcome, Chris.
Good morning.
And Jamie Davis is the OSU Extension Southern Region Director. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you for having us.
And Jamie, let me start with you because I might have confined things a little narrowly by making this more of a farmy thing. But I mean, OSU Extension and its services go way beyond just farm stuff, right?
Absolutely. So we do support agriculture communities, farmers and ranchers, but our educational programs go well beyond agriculture to community health, to physical activity, to ensuring food safety, to our Master Gardener program and 4-H youth development. Forestry and natural resources. So we expand well beyond agriculture.
All right. So talk about where things stand, if you would, Chris Elliott. I read your statement last night on Facebook about the vote of the budget committee. So this is perhaps hopeful, but then when you consider that the commissioners get the final say and two of the three appear to be against you, what's the mood right now?
You know, we're optimistic. We're going to keep telling the story of the great work that our faculty and staff do in this community, along with the thousands of hours of volunteers in this community. We're happy with the adoption by the budget committee. And of course, that includes two members of the public as part of that oversight. The challenge before us is, the committee is made up of three of the commissioners, obviously, and two of them voted no. And so last year, we were in a similar situation. The budget was adopted by the budget committee, and then in the final adoption meeting by the commissioners, they voted 2-1 to not fund us. And so we're doing our best to address the questions that they presented during the meeting. And, certainly there was a challenge. There were four of us from OSU there because our budget is comprehensive, and there's so many different programs that we offer here in the community. Jamie did a fantastic job of presenting our budget, but there were some questions that they had that unfortunately we're unable to answer. Several of us raised our hands and, at times wanted to offer some additional comments and feedback based on the questions that were asked by commissioners, and we weren't able to do so. I was really pleased, though, on the number of members of the public that were in the room. The room was packed, and everyone who got up to spoke was praising the work of Extension and really the progress that we've made over the year. We've been making improvements and changes based on feedback we got from the commissioners. We've been in quarterly communication with the commissioners, and I think there's been a lot of positive change in programming that they've wanted to see.
I should point out that we have reached out to the two commissioners who oppose the funding for Extension Services in Josephine County, Herman Berchiger and John West. We are awaiting a response. We are talking to Chris Elliott and Jamie Davis from Oregon State University Extension about what's going on in Josephine County, where the Budget Committee did vote to restore the funding that was taken away in the budget for the current fiscal year. The next one starts on July 1st. When we talked to Dr. Ivory Lyles, your predecessor, and I'm sorry to hear about him dying on the job, our condolences from here, Chris, but Dr. Lyles talked about having a regular meeting with Commissioner Berchiger, who was then the chair. Did that meeting happen?
It did. And then when Commissioner West assumed that role, those meetings continued. And, up until the actual budget submission, Commissioner West and I, had several phone calls back and forth. We were in regular communication around just questions that he had about the progress that we were making. If he heard something from community members, he reached out. And so we've had a great line of communication back and forth. And so I was a bit surprised with some of the questions and concerns that he had because those at least in our conversations, didn't seem to be expressed. But, you know, to give him the benefit of the doubt, he just got the budget, you know, during the budget process. So we're going to do our best to answer the questions and concerns that he had, and certainly those that Commissioner Bertrager had as well.
So let's talk about the numbers, Jamie. I mean, what kind of budget did you present? What does it take to run Extension Services in Josephine County for a year?
Great. And so the budget that we presented was requesting that our permanent levy tax rate be reinstated for this next year. And that was voted on as a permanent measure of 0.459 cents per thousand of assessed value for properties in Josephine County. And if that rate is collected as we presented and was supported by the budget committee yesterday, a house with an assessed value of $300,000, a property owner would pay around $13.77 annually to provide our annual operation budget for this next year of just over $400,000.
Let me make sure I got the math here right. So the house is worth $300,000. You're charged for the entire year if the money is levied for the extension district is $13.77.
That is correct.
Uh-huh. So what does that lead to in the way of a final budget that you want to work with here? What does that bring in?
Yep. And so what that brings in is that pays for 3.5 of our faculty members, and then it also provides operating expenses too. For a total, and I'm just flipping to my right page of all my budget paperwork here. Let me find that.
I appreciate the level of detail. So, take your time.
yes, thank you. Let's see here. And let's see, the proposed expenditures to the estimated of our general fund are $438,700. And so that represents $319,000 for personnel, and that is to fund an office specialist, an administrative office manager, an education program assistant, and a half-time outreach program coordinator for the horticulture program. And we have 14 positions that actually support Josephine County for the Extension Service District. And the service district pays for 3.5 of those positions. And then within our budget is the personnel for those 3.5 people. But additionally, our budget included $115,700 for materials and supplies. And so that's our operating expenses. That is paying for the electricity for our office, our office operations, minor upgrades to the office. That is things like renting our copier, our paper, employee travel within and to Josephine County to deliver those programs.
Chris Elliott, how did Extension function in Josephine County during the current fiscal year since the commissioners refused to collect the tax levy for the district?
That's a great question. So we were able to operate on reserves. So our account tends to build up to the recommended amount of reserves. Typically, that's about 20% or less, just to cover any sort of unforeseen circumstances, and so we were able to cover the year in operations through that amount. So the challenge this year is we're now under the clock and timeline for that money to run out, and so the reinstatement of the levy is critical for us to be able to provide the services that the citizens of this county have come to expect. And the other thing that I'd add on to what Jamie said is, you know, there seems to be a lot of statements and concern around the county's contribution. I think a couple of the statements I heard yesterday were that, you know, the county's money is going to fund administration. And the reality is the way that tax service districts and county funding and the extension budgeting works across the state and certainly even across the country is that county contribution funds the infrastructure. And so the benefit to Josephine County is over $500,000 comes from OSU in the form of state and federal dollars. So it's about $1.67 return on investment of the county dollars based on what they get from OSU through those additional resources. So that's why when we say you're funding 3.5 employees here, but getting 8 employees that serve the county and 14 that serve the county through regional services and support directly from OSU, the people of this county really benefit from that investment that they're making in that infrastructure.
We're talking about Extension Services in Josephine County with Chris Elliott and Jamie Davis from Oregon State University Extension. So, Jamie, the heart of this, the T-shirt turning story, what kind of investigation was done out of OSU to learn more about it and what actually happened?
Yes, and so we have our 4-H clubs often purchase shirts to support their club. And so they're part of a team or a group that represent themselves. And one of the questions that came up is could there be religious representation on a club shirt that was purchased with monies raised in the name of the 4-H? And because Oregon State University practices religious neutrality, we found that that was inappropriate use of publicly raised funds in the name of 4-H. And that is part of the question that has come up and what we've fact-founded and found to be. So personalized expression of religious, such as wearing a cross necklace, is completely appropriated, well-supported in the 4-H program. We support people of all walks of life. All are welcomed in 4-H youth development as well as our OSU extension programs. However, as a publicly funded institution, we do need to practice religious neutrality.
All right. So this is a church-state separation thing. The money for the T-shirts can't have religious symbols on them.
That was raised with public dollars, correct.
All right. So, but was that one issue? It sounds like a single T-shirt incident wouldn't necessarily be the basis for zeroing out all extension services in a single county.
Yeah, I can jump in on that one. I want to just add to the fact, too, and just to reinstate that, we celebrate religion and youth's ability to express their faith. And so while there can't be a shirt purchased with directly run or fundraised 4-H dollars, those youth are highly encouraged to express themselves and wear whatever religious T-shirt or affiliation that they want. They're allowed to pray at their meetings. So I think what happened in a year ago was really just a lack or a breakdown of communication, and we've addressed that issue. And so I think the challenge here is, the issue seems to be evolving and changing. I think one of our challenges, I think from our standpoint, is the goalpost of expectations for our team seems to be evolving and changing. And so I think we've dealt with the religious issue. We've retrained our staff to make sure that they know what the religious neutrality facts are and how they implement them. We're working with groups here that want to establish clubs and helping them and offer to go over names of clubs to make sure that they can create a club that the name is appropriate and would be accepted based on all the federal laws and policies that we're going to enforce or have to enforce. But now we're hearing challenges about how our budget was presented yesterday, and which was unfortunate because that's the format of the budget we've presented over the last 10 years. So that was a new issue that we've not heard of before until last night. And I would just remind folks that budget was audited by the Secretary of State and the auditor last year, and there were no findings on OSU. We're doing everything completely on the up and up and properly. And so so that has been an issue that I think we need to come back and give the commissioners some more information.
Chris, we're almost out of time. Do you have another meeting planned with John West before the final vote of the commissioners on the 28th of June?
We don't have a meeting because they're in the budget process, and so now it is a public session. But we are going to get them answers to the questions that they posed for us so that they have those for the next two meetings.
All right. Two more meetings then before the final budget adoption?
Correct.
Okay.
The 26th and the 28th.
All right. We will see what shakes out. Chris Elliott and Jamie Davis from Oregon State University Extension, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Thank you.
You bet.